Thank you so much, Jacob Lynn, for that excellent special number. Children, you may leave. You may leave, children, while the adults discuss anxiety and depression. You may leave. Matthew chapter 6, please, in your Bible. I'm glad you have the ability to laugh with me, Matthew chapter 6. But we're having a great time in this series. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Matthew chapter 6, I'm thoroughly enjoying the series we are on overcoming anxiety and depression, how to have peace of mind. One of the most gratifying things about this series has been that several people have come up to me recently and said, Pastor Mahdi, I am practicing the things you're teaching, and when I do that, I do genuinely experience peace of mind. Now, let me say this. It is something you have to learn. It is something you have to practice. It is something you have to discipline yourself to. No one, including myself, the guy who's been teaching this from the Bible, no one is perfect at this. I am not perfect at it, but I find that when I start to ruminate on something that causes me anxiety, I immediately sense that and I learn to deal with it according to the methods that we have in Scripture. Now, let me do a quick review for you. We have several folks that are here as visitors as well tonight. I hope you can see my high-tech illustration. If you can't see it, you should have sat more toward the front. But anyway, remember, the basis of my teaching is the scripture verse that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now everybody watch. Here's the word thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, this is the word emotions, so is he, this is behavior. My thoughts, listen carefully, produce my emotions. My emotions drive my behavior. And so the idea is this, if I can change my thought pattern, the way that I think, I can change the way that I feel. Oh, Pastor Monty, I just can't help how I feel. Stop with that. You can if you will work on your thoughts. Remember we said we have to do something with our thoughts. We have to nip it. Remember? Nip it, nip it, nip it. Barney Fife psychology. Nip it in the bud. That's what we're going to do with our thoughts. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5 teaches us that we are to bring all thoughts into captivity of Christ, that we are to cast away anything that argues against a knowledge of God, okay? We've talked about that thoroughly. We also learned that the Bible says we are to be careful for nothing. The word careful means to be filled with care, filled to overflowing with care. We said it is a good thing to care. It is not a good thing to be overwhelmed by care. And so we've talked about that. Now, in capturing our thoughts, and I want you to remember this, please, so we can get to where we're going tonight. In capturing our thoughts, we capture our thoughts, we examine them. There are some thoughts we refuse. We just don't think about them, okay? So if you freak out about the weather, boy, it was windy yesterday, wasn't it? I think we had 4 trees come down at the ranch out there at Jetto Lake. 4 trees came down. Well, Pastor Monty, weren't you all worked up about it? No. No, you can't do a thing about the weather. The weather is going to be what the weather's going to be. And so there are certain things we refuse. We said we gave you 2 paradigms. So the control paradigm being, if I can't control it, I'm not going to think about it. Well, Pastor Monty, but what about so-and-so? Aren't you concerned? Oh, yes, I have concern for people, but I'm not going to ruminate over anything that I cannot control. You'll remember we talked about that. I am going to think about those things that are under my complete control, and when it comes to things that I partially control, I'm only going to think of the part that I control and not worry or ruminate or get overly concerned about the outcome. That was the control paradigm. The time paradigm is somewhat similar, where I'm not going to think about the negative past. Oh, but Pastor Monty, the horrible, awful things that happened to me in the past, I just can't forget. Look at me. I'm not telling you to forget. I'm telling you to stop thinking about it. There's a difference. You can refuse to think about it. And the future. Many of us worry about the future. We project in the future. Well, I wonder 10 years from now if I'll have cancer. I don't know. It could be lurking inside of me right now. And if it is, I don't know. I'm not going to worry about that. Well, Pastor Monty, what about if down the line somewhere blah, 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 blah happens? I'm not going to worry about that. I cannot control the future. Well, where should my thought be focused? We're going to see that in our scripture in Matthew 6. My thought should be focused in the present moment, because my thoughts control or produce my emotions. My emotions drive my behavior. Now, I'm going to erase this for a moment and do something a little bit different. We'll get to our scripture verse in a minute. I'm drawing here a large circle and a small circle. Does everybody see that? That is not a donut. Stop it, fatties. Those are circles, okay? Okay. That big circle is concerns, okay? The little circle, this is going to be harder to read. It's harder to read. Responsibilities. You can write this in the little circle. Now, your Bible's open to Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Jesus said this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now, because of these things, the idea of where your treasure is, the idea of not laying up treasure on earth, not concerning yourself with the amassing of wealth, Jesus said, therefore, verse 25, "Because of this, therefore, I say unto you," now note these words, "take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Now pause there for a moment. I gave you the last time, or some time ago in this series, two different paradigms by which I can judge my thinking. Remember, you refuse some thoughts. You can reframe other thoughts. We went through that exercise. If you want that, you'll have to go back into the recordings on this. So we've given you a couple things. But here's tonight's idea. We need to learn, and boy, I need to learn this. We need to learn how to be indifferent. Indifferent? Now, wait a minute, Pastor Bonnie. Aren't we supposed to care? Oh, yes, you're supposed to care, but there are certain things about which you should be indifferent. I want everybody to focus on what I'm saying. To be concerned about everything causes us to be overly concerned or careful or filled with care. And someone said, "Well, Pastor Monty, we ought to be concerned about everything that happens." Now listen carefully. There are concern levels, there are responsibility. I'll get this into this in a second. But frankly, quite frankly, no human being has the capacity to spend thought time, which produces emotion, on every single issue that comes down the pike. Some years ago when we were living at the other house, the city or somebody, I guess the power company, put up power lines, large power lines, much larger than had been there before. The power lines had been running for about 2 weeks, having been put up, I think, by Duke Energy. They'd been running for about 2 weeks when a lady, probably about a quarter mile down the road, someone I'd never met, she called me. And she said, "Is this Pastor Monty?" I said, "Yes, this is." She said, "Pastor, are your ears ringing?" Well, that was a weird question. And I said, "No, no more than usual." And she said, "My ears are ringing." She said, "My ears are ringing." And I said, well, ma'am, can I help you with that? I mean, I was confused by the entire phone call. She said, "Ever since they put in that new power line," she said, "my ears have had a ring to them." She said, "It never happened before. My ears are ringing." And she said, "Honestly, I was hoping yours were ringing too." Well, I guess misery loves company. But I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And she said this, and she said, "Pastor Monty," she said, "I don't know you, but I know your reputation." She said, "You are a man of action. If there's anyone who can accost the power company and have them change the lines, it is Pastor Monty. My ears are ringing. Pastor, will you help me?" The simple answer to that is no. No. I have neither the time nor the energy, listen, nor the concern to care about that. As a human being, I have a limited capacity for concern, and my concerns need to fall in line with the scripture. Now, some years ago, and Pastor Morris, I know you'll remember this, some years ago I went, whenever I need counseling, I go to Pastor Morris. Pastor Morris is wise. Pastor Morris is noble. Pastor Morris is smart. Pastor Morris is just a good guy. He's just a great guy. He'll never tell you something that's not true. He'll nail you with the... But Pastor Monty, sometimes he's blunt. Look at me. You need that. You need that. Don't ever criticize someone for being blunt, okay? That just means you're a snowflake. Pastor Morris is blunt, and he's direct. And so I went to Pastor Morris for counseling. I was all wound up about something, because I'm a type A personality. I get wound up sometimes. And Pastor Morris drew this for me, and I've never forgotten it. He drew two circles. The large circle is concerns. The smaller circle is responsibility. And he said this to me. He said, Pastor, your problem is that you blur the line between concerns and responsibilities. You blur that line. In other words, there are certain things that you are responsible for. Those are the actionable things. Those are the things that you're going to be thinking about. Then he said there's other things that you might have a vague concern for, but you don't act upon that because it's outside of the realm of your responsibility. Is everybody following me on this? And so he said to me, he said, concentrate on what is genuinely your responsibility and pray about your concerns. Well, that paradigm fits very well with what we're talking about right now. There are, frankly, certain things that I should be indifferent about. Every once in a while, someone will call me with a cause, a Christian cause or concern, and want me to jump on the bandwagon. In fact, want me to be the cheerleader for the next Christian cause. And it may be a great cause, but it's not my calling. Now, look at me, everybody. You might jot this down. It's not in your notes. When everything is important, nothing is important. Jot that down. Boy, we have a society that tries to make everything about, well, Pastor, this is all very important. You get junk emails. One, I got an email the other day that was baiting me. It had a subject line, and it said in big capital letters, "Don't read this email." Do you know what? I didn't read it. I was not about to take the bait. Many people would take the bait. I was not about to take the bait. If you don't want me to read the email, I don't want to. And guess what, by the way? I didn't read the email, and do you know what? The sun came up the next morning. I mean, nothing changed. Here's my point. When we are careful or full of care, sometimes we have involved ourselves mentally in things that really we should be indifferent of. Now, did Jesus really teach this? Yes, he did. In fact, there are several key areas of indifference that we're going to look at. And here's the idea. So putting it back into the whole lecture series, here's the idea. I'm going to stop my thoughts in their tracks. I'm going to confront them. Are these thoughts that are brought into captivity of Christ, are these thoughts that are exalting the knowledge of God, or do they suppress or reject the knowledge of God? And I'm going to examine them based upon Scripture. Is my thinking scriptural? Okay, what should I be indifferent about? Number one, and we've hinted at this earlier, I should be indifferent concerning uncontrollable things, those outside my control. Look at verse number 27. This is precisely what Jesus taught. Matthew 6:27. Which of you, Jesus asked, by taking thought, notice the concept of thought. By the way, the word thought appears in verse 27, verse 28, verse 31, verse 34. So it's an emphasis, the whole emphasis of the passage on thinking. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Okay, who can do that? Who can get taller by thinking really, really hard about it? Anyone? No one. How many remember the old faith healer Peter Popov? Do you remember Peter Popov? There's been lots of those faith healers, you know, those charismatic Pentecostal faith healers. It's funny how in those crusades, people would come with legs that had different lengths to them. Anyone ever notice that? They did a lot of leg lengthening at those crusades. So they would prop up. Robbie, why don't you come up here as an example of this, Robbie? Just come on up here for a minute. I love to use Robbie as an example. Let's see, boy, I don't know, I guess everybody can see from over here. Boy, if you're sitting over there, you're not going to be able to see, but Robbie, just sit in this chair here. So if I were Peter Popov, put your legs up. Those cowboy boots need shining. They're horrible. Okay, put your legs up. Put the other one up. Okay, now, oh, look at this. Does everybody see that? The right foot is a good inch longer than the left. Does everybody see that? Do you see that? Now watch this. Watch this. Let me get my charismatic thing going here. Tie my bow tie and tie my bow tie. And I pull, and look, I lengthened the other leg, and now he can walk evenly. It's a miracle. But folks, have you ever thought about this? Why didn't the healing evangelist just shorten the long leg? Why? Because Pastor Monty, nobody wants to be short. Oh, go sit down before you break the sermon. They lengthen it because I guess people just want to be tall. I don't know. But Jesus said this, by taking thought, listen, by ruminating, by considering over and over and over again, can you add one cubit to your stature? Listen, the answer, rhetorical question, of course, the answer is no. Okay, so if you are not satisfied with your height, stop thinking about it. You can't, well, Pastor Monty, I just wish God had made me taller. Stop it. Stop it. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't change certain things by thinking about them. So I've given you a list. I've covered some of this. The past. I can't change the past. Quit obsessing over what happened in the past. People. I can't change people. Now, I have influence. I can pray. But once I've done my part, I leave the rest to God. Does everybody follow me on this? And I cannot get all wound up about it. Because I cannot, he said, Pastor Monty, I'm going to control so-and-so. You'll never do it. And for anybody in this room who is a controlling person, okay, you are driving yourself and everyone around you, including your spouse, absolutely nuts. I'm Pastor Monty, I just have to be in control of every little thing that happens. No, that's not a strength, by the way. Listen, that's a serious weakness. And the reality is I cannot be in control of everything, but I know somebody who is. And I can pray, and as we've taught already, I can leave my burden there. I can't control the past. I can't control people. I can't control externals, weather, the stock market, the price of gas. How about this? The news. I am a news junkie. I watch and listen to the news like other people do football. The presidential election is my Super Bowl. It only happens every 4 years, for which you can all be very thankful. I love political news. I read the Wall Street Journal every day. I read the Times of Israel every day. I listen to Ben Shapiro. You should listen to Ben Shapiro. I listen to Ben Shapiro on his podcast every day that he has his podcast. I love the news. I used to listen to a podcast by Albert Mohler. He is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. He's a conservative. I would listen to his podcast called The Briefing. Anyone ever heard of it? No one? Okay, a couple have heard of it. Okay, I stopped listening to The Briefing. Do you know why? It's really intense. And Albert Mohler reads a news article, and then he gets this very intense, edgy sound to his voice, and he says, and this is why every Christian should be deeply concerned about whether or not Scotland will leave the EU. And I thought, you know what? I've never thought about Scotland. I've never thought about the EU. And now Robert Mueller is going to tell me why I need to be deeply concerned about this and why it's going to shape the rest of my life and perhaps my world, and it could ruin the rest of my day, and it might even burn my supper, and I better listen to what Albert Mueller has to say because I had to be concerned. The thing about it was, and I love his take on the news, don't get me wrong, but it got me so wound up about things I can't control. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can't control it, I shouldn't allow it to dominate my thinking. I stop my thought in its tracks and say, is this something that I can control? Ask yourself, do I control this? If the answer is no, refuse to think about it, because rumination, that thought process that circulates in the brain, has no power to change what you cannot control. Okay, we covered that. But now Jesus also talks about something else. If you would look at chapter 6, look at verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now drop down to verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now remembering, the entire passage deals with our thinking. Jesus is saying this: we ought not to overly concern ourselves with temporary things. Look at again at verse number 30. He talks about the grass of the field. Today it is, it exists. Tomorrow it is cast in the oven. Will not God take care of you in regard to clothing? Yes, but these things are all temporary. Folks, look this way. Everything is temporary. Now, in your speaker's notes, and these are the speaker's notes you've received tonight, they're very special. I will autograph them after the service. In the speaker's notes, we remember negative visualization. Remember talking about things that are temporary? Okay, how many remember when we gave that demonstration last week? Do you remember that? We had Pastor Morris. Was it last week, Pastor Morris? It was last week. We had you laid out here for your funeral. He did a beautiful job. He makes a great corpse. And he was laid out here, and Becky, when I was doing that, was there a little tear in your eye? Was there? Were you weeping and wailing? You were brokenhearted, weren't you, Becky? Becky, I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. You know that, right? Okay. Morris was laying out, and we use that illustration to remind us that everything is temporary. Folks, look. I will not always be behind this pulpit. I hope I'll be behind this pulpit for a long, long time, but I will not always be behind this pulpit, okay? Your spouse will not always be by your side unless you die together in a horrible, fiery automobile accident. But apart from that, one of you will go on before the other. Well, you say, Pastor Monty, this is so morbid, it's making me anxious. No, listen. We should appreciate one another more because of this. Letting that fleeting thought, the fact that you're not going to have today, this past week I went on an unsuccessful hunting trip briefly into northern Minnesota, and I saw the beauty of those woods, and the woods were just aflame. The lake was a beautiful cobalt blue, and you had the crimson, alizarin crimson, and the beautiful azure yellow colors, all those things, ochre yellow colors, all of those things were just painted across the woods. The woods were on fire, and the thought occurred to me, which occurs to me every year: God only gives you so many fall times. How many love fall? Do you love fall? Okay, I've experienced 51 fall times. Pastor Monty, how many more do you have to go? I don't know. But I do know it's not 120. I know that for sure. God's only given me so many, so that time is precious. Listen, well, Pastor, you know, I think we just ought to keep our nose to the grindstone and just ignore all of this. Oh, okay. Time is passing you by. I said this to one of the people I was with. I said, you know, God only gives you so many fall times. Don't waste one of them. And that is true of everything in life. And we view things as temporary, but not to be concerned about them, but rather to focus on them and enjoy them. We're to use them. We taught that last week. We're to enjoy them. We're to hold them loosely because they'll one day go away. And eventually we let things go. This is the reason that temporary things should not obsess us. Jesus' example is clothing. Clothing. Don't be obsessed with what you're wearing. Don't worry about it. Don't become overly concerned about it. It is just temporary. We spend too much time on things and not enough time on tranquility. And I put in the notes there, remember the danger of hedonic adaptation. We want something, we get that thing, then we don't like it anymore, and we want something bigger and better, okay? Beware of that. Don't focus on things that are temporary. Be satisfied with what you have. So that's temporary things. Now, so Jesus said, don't think about things you can't control. Don't overly think about temporary things. Now this is the hard one. Don't focus overly on things that are necessary. Look at verse 31. Therefore, these are the words of Jesus, take no thought. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Look at verse number 25. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Jesus even taught that we should be relatively indifferent about necessary things. This is hardcore discipline, but it does change our level of anxiety. Remember when we taught, I can't even remember which one it was, maybe it was last week when we taught about loving the things you have. Was that last week? Help me. Okay, you're nodding your heads. You don't know, but okay, that's nice. Remember we talked about loving the things that you have? Okay, follow me on this. Why do we become so obsessed even over necessities, especially in America, when none of us is even close to starvation? It is never difficult in America to find food. I remember a young man, I think he was graduating from Princeton University, he wrote a book. He did something very interesting. In fact, he got severe backlash for this. He lived for several months in the city of New York as a homeless person. He lived as a homeless person. He was a student, I think, at Princeton. Lived as a homeless person and did a report on how to be homeless. And here's what he found out. He found out if you timed it right in New York City, you could get from one soup kitchen and food line to the next. He said, to the extent that I think he said you could have like 13 meals a day if you timed it right. And then he listed all the places to stay and all the things that you could get. And he said over the time of his being homeless, he actually was able to gain weight by timing it right to going to all of the free meals. Now, do you know why that is? This is Christian America. That's why that is. There are people who are generous, who are giving. It is an abundance. But it's funny, in a society where we don't have to worry about things, we still fret over them. We get all worked up about this or that, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where are we going to live, all of these things. Jesus said, life is more than food, the body is more than raiment. We should eat to live. We don't live to eat. We wear clothes, they don't wear you. Does everybody understand the principle? The idea is, even in necessary things, the things that I'm required to have, the things that I have to have, I don't want to focus so much on those that I lose everything else about life. Now we look this way. Look this way. Let me give you something really good. Do you know what life is really about? Life is not about these beautiful shoes. It really isn't. These shoes will one day not be so nice, and I'll throw them in the trash. I'll probably give them away. Robbie, I think I'll give them to you. As a matter of fact, you really need them. Life is not about these shoes. Look at me. Life is about relationships. You hear me? Life is not about how much money you have in the bank. If you're a multi-millionaire and have no friends, you are impoverished. If you're a multi-millionaire and have no friends, you're impoverished. Life is about relationships. Life is about people. Life is about giving and receiving love on both a human and divine level, receiving God's love. Life is about things that are real because these are things that we can take with us. Even our loved ones and friends, if they know Christ as Savior, we can take these things with us. Why is it that we pour so much time into amassing the physical and kind of neglect sometimes those things that are much more important, especially relationships? That is a huge mistake. And Jesus said there should be relative indifference. I'm not telling you to dress sloppily. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you to eat food out of a dumpster. I'm not telling you to do that. But what I'm saying is, don't have an overt concern about it. Don't worry about it. Sometimes I buy clothes that fit me, because it's too extra large tall and it's hard to come by. And every once in a while I see the label that says 2XLT, and I just buy it. And then I bring it home, and Kelly says, where did you get that ugly thing? I didn't think much about it. I just bought it. I don't want to be obsessed with those kind of things. I used to be this way. When I'd go to a restaurant, I would examine the menu. By the way, if you want to go to the restaurant, where's Pastor Wall? Is he here? Where are you, Pastor Wall? Oh, right back there, Pastor Wall. Boy, nobody knows restaurants in Indianapolis like Pastor Jason Wall. And a familiarization with every menu. I learned something. If he orders something, you order a two and you'll be happy. But I used to be this person. who would examine the menu. Do you ever do this? And look for the best value on the whole menu. Well, Pastor Monty, what does that mean? That means the biggest thing at the cheapest price. That's what that means. I used to be that person. And I would examine, I would go through, and I would figure out, am I going to get the exact right thing? Do you know what? That was just a lot of mental energy. Do you know what I found out? Most of the time now, I just let someone else, I listen to what they're ordering, and I say, wow, that sounds good, and I order that too. It's okay to not care about these things. We trouble ourselves so much with these things, sometimes it gets us into trouble. So to do this, look at point C on the back. Reject a nothing but the best attitude. Well, Pastor Marty, I must have the finest of everything. You're an idiot. And you're going to go through life so disappointed. So disappointed. Your feelings are going to be hurt every time you turn around, and nothing's ever going to live up to your expectations. Well, Pastor Monty, you don't understand the way I was reared. We had very high expectations, and the whole family was neurotic because of it, okay? When you learn to keep your expectations low, life is filled with pleasant surprises. When I'm not a connoisseur of everything, when I'm not a critic of everything. So someone said a while back, don't ask Pastor Monty's opinion on food because he thinks everything tastes great even if it's garbage. That's a compliment. I'm happy with whatever comes my way, and you can tell just by looking. I've very rarely rejected the smallest of morsels. Very rarely has anything not met my expectation. My point is this. Don't have that attitude that says I have to have the best of everything because you're going to be disappointed. And the whole idea is an obsession. Well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How is my hamburger going to be paired appropriately with the seasoning that I have selected for my French fries? Get a life. Get a life. Well, Pastor, I'm just not sure if this Angus beef hamburger is going to go with the goat cheese coated French fries. What are you doing? Dipping your French fries in goat cheese. Pastor Monty, it's the latest thing, and if you drizzle a little honey on top and then put some very rare lingonberry jam across, yuck. Okay, somebody needs to get a life. Whatever happened to being happy with a grilled cheese sandwich and a bowl of tomato soup? Now follow. When you really don't care about even things that are necessary, and I think I'm touching a nerve here because you're laughing. When we really don't care about things that are even things that are sometimes necessary, it helps us. It helps us to have the right thought process. God knows our needs, therefore we don't obsess over it. We trust in Him. And then quickly, let me cover this, and it does reflect something I've said before, but I want you to see that Jesus taught this. Okay, I didn't just make this up. Jesus taught this. Look at verse number 34 of chapter 6. Again, the word thought. Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow or for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, that's the future. It's going to happen whether you're ready or not. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I cannot determine the future. I have no control. Jesus said, take no thought. Does everybody see that? See, this is my Pastor Monty. You know, some of this seems kind of psychological. It's the best psychology in the world because it comes from the mouth of Jesus. Everything I've taught over the last several weeks comes either from the Apostle Paul, from the Old Testament, particularly the book of Proverbs, or from the mouth of Jesus himself. And so when Jesus said, I'm not to take any thought concerning tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow, he's not meaning, you know, don't go to work tomorrow. You're going to go to work. But what he's meaning is don't take that unnecessary thought that causes people to get anxious or that produces anxiety. He says, don't do that because you cannot determine the future. You have no control. You know what I can do? I can do my best right now. Well, Pastor Monty, but what if so-and-so happens tomorrow? Why should I worry about that? That's tomorrow. By the way, look at me. How many would say, Pastor, if I think about it, right now, today, I have enough that happened today to be concerned with and not tomorrow. How many would say that? Sure. That's what the Bible means when it says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough trouble to think about today. Don't multiply your trouble by thinking about the possible trouble tomorrow. Don't multiply. Well, Pastor, you know, these aches and pains are getting achier and painier. I might be in real trouble tomorrow. Hey, listen. You might be, and you might not be. But to focus on it over and over and over again is to disobey the plain teaching of Jesus. What if, look at me, what if I learned, and this is hard, I know what I'm talking about is hard because it's hard for me, but what if I learned to put all of my effort into today? And then when tomorrow rolls around, I put all of my effort into tomorrow. And when Tuesday rolls around, I put all of my effort into Tuesday. And when Wednesday rolls around, I put all of my effort into Wednesday. What if I did that? What if I did that consistently? I bet I know something. I bet things would turn out better overall if I did that. But when I rob from today by worrying about tomorrow, I accomplish nothing except making myself more miserable. Here it is in a nutshell, okay? I've given you all these ways to test your thoughts. Jesus said there are an awful lot of things about which we should be indifferent. Learn the art of indifference. That doesn't mean to not care about important things, but certain things that really don't matter, and they don't. Well, Pastor Monty, you know, my great Aunt Gertrude, she stopped her toe, and that nail's about to come off, and she doesn't have much left on her toe anyway. That nail's about to come off. Pastor Monty, put it on the prayer bulletin. Get everybody in the church praying for my great Aunt Gertrude and her toe. You're kidding. Pastor Monty, didn't you, the moment that email, bing, came through, didn't you drop to your knees in earnest intercession for great Aunt Gertrude? The answer to you would be no. Don't you care? The answer would be no. Because it's not important. When everything's important, nothing is important. And I want my care and concern to be focused on those things that are vital. On those, because those things that I can influence, those things. Look, I don't mind prayer requests, but don't, by the way, could you not trivialize prayer requests? We trivialize it by talking about great Aunt Gertrude and her toe. That's so trivial. Okay, there's plenty of really important things to pray about. Her toe will straighten itself out or... But if I concentrate my care and concern over those things that are really important, you say, Preacher, what are those things? It's interesting, Jesus talked about it in verse 33. What did he say? He said, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Eternal things are important. Focus there. And then the great promise of that is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And all these things shall be added unto you. God says, put my priorities first. Prioritize my priorities. Don't get all wound up in these things. And he said, I'll just throw those things at you as you prioritize my priorities. Folks, I'm not telling you not to care. We should care, but we should be careful about what we care about. And we should be indifferent about the things that Jesus said. Be indifferent about these. You can't change them. They're things of the past. They're things of the future. They're necessary things, some of them, but they're not that important. They're temporary things. They're passing away. They're not that important. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, help us, I pray, to understand that sometimes we consume our thinking to the point of anxiety with things that simply aren't that important. God, everything screams at us in this world to pay attention, to care, to be concerned. Everyone has a cause. Everyone has a vision, a goal, a dream. Everyone has something that they're pushing. Help us, Lord, to sift through those things and make priority the things of the kingdom of God. Let us, Lord, be a people who is indifferent much of the time to things that really don't matter, and focused on those things that do, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.